This is Stand Up and Speak Up with your host, Walt Grassel, here on the Rockstar Radio Network. Do you have unfulfilled dreams? Are your fears keeping you from leading a more fulfilling life? Well, coming up on Walt Grassel's Stand Up and Speak Up, you'll hear real stories of people who have faced their fears and are now living their dreams. You'll learn how small steps can lead to big successes. Host Walt Grassel was terrified of any form of public speaking and now is doing stand-up. You can too. This is Stand Up and Speak Up here on the Rockstar Radio Network. And now, here's your host, Walt Grassel.
Welcome to Stand Up and Speak Up, and I am your host, Walt Grassel. Before I bring on today's guests, it's the end of October today for the live show, October 31st. And this month I attended three conferences and had my first three Groundlings improv classes. In addition to all the information that I've learned and how much smarter I've gotten, another benefit of this is you meet people who are like-minded. People who go to these conferences or these classes, they're there for the same reason that you are, to learn and improve themselves. And if you take the time to get to know people, you can broaden your network and learn from their experience, hear their stories, learn their backgrounds. And at one of the events I went to this month, Maurice Domino's Find Your Million Dollar Message, I ran into today's guest, and this is somebody who I'm sure our paths have crossed at some Toastmaster events, but I didn't really get to know her until I met her at Maurice's event. And she is a life coach, a speaking coach, a writer, and does many things. And I'll let her explain what it is that she does, who she is, how she got to where she is in right now. So please welcome to Stand Up and Speak Up, Karma Spence. Welcome, Karma.
I'm glad to be here.
Thanks. So please share with the audience and me your background. How did you get to be where you are today?
Well, I am never one for going in through the front door. I will always go around the side, climbing through those lights, that the windows and the top of the roof, skylights.
Mm-hmm. Skylights.
So I had a very circuitous route to getting to where I am today. I actually started off getting out of college as a science writer. And I worked for such organizations as City of Hope and the National Human Genome Research Center, writing about science so that ordinary people could understand all this high-level science. And I loved it. But I really fell in love with the internet. So I started moving my career in that direction right just before the dot-com bust. I had great timing. So I had this great job at one of those forward-thinking websites that was trying to connect patients with their doctors. And the dot-com bust happened, and I went freelance, and it's sort of been moving around trying to find who I am ever since. And eventually, I discovered coaching. And given that my father was a teacher, and I used to play teacher as a kid, but my sister would never do her homework. So I found that I'm just a natural teacher. So that sort of came into how I became a coach. Now, speaking, on the other hand, I've had a love affair with it since high school, which actually took me by surprise, because my junior year in high school, I had to take speech, and I didn't want to do it. I was scared to death. And the only reason I passed the class was because my dad coached me and coached me and coached me. And there was this one speech I did about earthquakes that my teacher loved so much. He said, "Karma, you should compete your senior year." And I went, "Who, me?" But I did. And so through a year of competing, I became much more confident, still afraid. I remember standing up there and feeling like my ears were bright red because they were burning so hard. And that's how I got into speaking. And so I've brought all that together into my business. I'm the Own Your Awesome Business and Life Coach, and I help creative entrepreneurs step into their power and become more creative, authentic, and profitable in their lives and businesses using online marketing, public speaking, and universal laws.
That's that's a good combination of skills for entrepreneurs. Getting back to your fear of public speaking, which is a big part of this show, it sounds like you were afraid and you did it anyway. And was it simply over time that you got better, or was there an event that happened that kind of made your fears kind of go to zero, or are you still afraid when you speak?
I'm not as afraid as I used to, but I have to admit that in certain circumstances, if I feel like a lot is riding on that particular presentation, I do get nervous. But overcoming my fear has been sort of a long-term thing, because I competed. I was scared every time I got up and competed. But I was driven to get a prize. And many times I got fifth place. I just wanted third place, because third place, you got a three-dimensional object. And I just mm-hmm. really wanted a third dimension, and I never did. I have a pile of certificates in my cabinet of fifth place, fifth place, fifth place. And then after high school, I didn't do anything with it. And then in 1989, I just joined Toastmasters, and it was through Toastmasters that I think I actually got to the point where I can comfortably get up in front of a room, and my hands don't shake and my ears don't burn.
And you've been in Toastmasters ever since without a break, or did you take a break and come back? Because I know you're active now.
I took about a 17-year break. Because I went to grad school, and then I had a job, and then I was married, and I only came back to it. I left in, like, 94, I want to say, and then I rejoined in 2011.
Oh, okay. So you're just recently back. And
yes.
Good. And you have a book in work on about public speaking. Tell us a little about that, please.
I do. It's called Public Speaking Superpowers, and it all started with a blog post. Because I love public speaking, I started a public speaking blog, and I came up with this idea. If public speakers were superheroes, what would their superpowers be? And so I wrote this simple blog post that talked about five of them. And then I noticed something interesting. It became my most popular post on that blog. So I said, this was back when article directories were still pretty working. Now they don't. They're a bad idea. But back then it was a good idea. So I would post it on several article directories. And again, I noticed that that article was my most popular. So about 3-4 years ago, I decided, why don't I make that a book? So at first I thought I'd write it myself. And then I realized, well, I don't know everything about public speaking. Why don't I interview some speakers? So my original goal was to interview 100 speakers. I got to 82 and said, okay, I'm enough. So I've got 82 15 to 30-minute interviews that I'm working on getting transcribed. And I asked them the same four questions. One was, tell us a little bit about your journey to public speaking. The second was, do you believe that public speaking is an innate skill or something that you learn to do? And then my favorite two questions were, if you were a public speaking superhero, what would your superpower be? In other words, what is your special talent or skill on the stage? And then the last question was, if someone else wanted to develop that superpower as well, how would they do it? And what I found is that there are certain sets of skills that more than one speaker would talk about. And so the book, once it's out, is going to each superpower is going to be a chapter, and it's going to pull together my experiences and the experiences of the speakers I spoke with to explain what that particular superpower is and how you can develop it yourself.
Yeah, that's interesting, because there is no one cure for overcoming stage fright. There is no one secret to being a better speaker. It all depends on who we are. But there are common threads, but not every, one size doesn't fit all.
And you don't have to have all of them.
Yes.
All the superpowers. You just have to have the few that work for you.
Right. What's the most common superpower Maybe, or is there not one? Are there?
There were two that most speakers mentioned. One was a passion for your topic. If you don't love what you're talking about, you have no business talking about it. And the other was being authentic. And what most of them meant by that is speak from your heart. Be who you are. You don't have to be perfect on the stage. You just need to be you. Because the audience is there to listen to what you have to say from your unique point of view.
Yeah, those are great tips. And I think when I was afraid, I thought I had to be perfect on stage and a perfect person. And because I wasn't, it kind of, I felt uncomfortable on stage. But once I realized I could use my faults, my problems, my mistakes, and tell stories on how I, how I overcame them, then I got more comfortable, and I found out that that resonated with audiences. I mean, the book that I wrote on overcoming stage fright, I tell a lot of stories of, you know, where I was in a bad place or I did, you know, had embarrassing situations, but exactly. Instead of people making fun of you, they admire the fact that you went through that and came out good on the other side. So,
exactly. Exactly.
Great. We've got about 1 minute left in this segment. When we come back, we'll talk about more of these stories and more tips for how to be a better speaker and also steps for overcoming stage fright. Did some of the stories that the superhero shared deal with stage fright, or was it more just being...
Yes. And there are a couple of funny ones, too.
Okay, we'll pick those up on the other side of the break. We've got about 30 seconds left. If people want to find you, what website should they go to?
There are two. One is karmaspence.com, and for the public speaking, it would be publicspeakingsuperpowers.com.
Great. So if you want to know more about Karma right now, you can go to those websites, and we'll resume our conversation after the break. You're here with Karma Spence and me, Walt Grassel, on Stand Up and Speak Up.
Conquering your fears and living your dream. That's what this show is all about. It's Stand Up and Speak Up with Walt Grassel. And we'll be back with more after these on the Rockstar Radio Network. In today's business world, you have to be LinkedIn. LinkedIn, it's a great tool. And Carol McManus is the LinkedIn lady. Join us for the LinkedIn Lady Show every weekday afternoon at 3 p.m. Central on the Rockstar Radio Network. Carol is here to show you and your business how every social media site has a specific demographic, personality, and purpose that can benefit you. In each show, the LinkedIn Lady will have a variety of guests, such as business owners who will showcase their businesses and talk about how they're using social media to stay in touch with not only customers, but to attract new relationships that become customers. Other guests will be experts in social media who will speak to the use of Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Google, Plaxo, Squidoo, and of course, LinkedIn. For more on Carol and the show, check out her website, LinkedInLady.com. Join us for the LinkedIn Lady Show with your host, Carol McManus, every weekday afternoon at 3 p.m. Central on the Rockstar Radio Network. If you could live your life truly standing in a place of peace, joy, and abundance, wouldn't that make your heart soar? Now you can, with Lessons in Joyful Living, with your host, Kimberly Rinaldi, Mondays at noon Central on the Rockstar Radio Network. Kimberly Rinaldi, having created a highly successful coaching practice, now teaches Lessons in Joyful Living. She believes in empowering others and that through it, you have the ability to break through any and all barriers, thus allowing you to reach your greatest potential and joyfully step into your life's purpose. What used to take weeks, months, or even years, she can now teach you in a matter of hours with her programs. For more on Kim and her show, go to our website, KimberlyRinaldi.com. That's RINALDI.com. Then join us for Lessons in Joyful Living with your host, Kimberly Rinaldi, Mondays at noon Central, here on the Rockstar Radio Network. Welcome back to Stand Up and Speak Up with Walt Grassel here on the Rockstar Radio Network. The whole purpose of this show is to inspire you to face your fears, because when you do, you open up a whole new world of incredible opportunities. And Walt Grassel should know, he took the first steps by joining Toastmasters in 2006. While still struggling, he slayed an even bigger fear and tried stand-up comedy. Now get ready to learn how you can face your fears and change your life. It's Stand Up and Speak Up here on the Rockstar Radio Network. And here again is your host, Walt Grassel.
Welcome back to Stand Up and Speak Up. I am your host, Walt Grassel, and I'm here today with Karma Spence. And before the break, Karma was talking about her book about public speaking superpowers, and two of the most common superpowers are having a passion for your subject and being authentic. And did you have anything you wanted to add about authenticity, Karma?
Well, actually, both authenticity and passion, I think, are the keys to overcoming stage fright. Because like what you said is that you felt like you needed to be perfect. And a perfect person, it's very hard to be perfect and authentic at the same time. You seem robotic if you're too perfect. But also, when you have a passion for what you're saying, it just makes it easier for the words to flow out. And I know for me, when I was, you know, really still working on my stage fright, I used to stand up there and I'd be giving my speech and my ears would start burning and my cheeks would start burning, and there'd be this little voice in my head saying, "You're blushing. Everybody's watching you blush. Everybody's noticing your ears are bright red and your cheeks are bright red and your hands are shaking." And it would make me forget my lines and I'd flub. And then I would realize that because I was talking about something I was interested in and the way I was saying it was interesting, no one noticed any of that. They were too wrapped up in what I was saying. So the more I realized that as long as I'm in tune with my message, that's what people are going to pay attention to, I got more comfortable and my ears haven't burned in years, thank God.
That's good. One of the tips that I learned that's kind of on a related path is when we start focusing on maybe how much we think our voice is trembling or our hands are shaking or how nervous we appear. Craig Valentine, one of the world champions of public speaking, said there's like a 10-to-1 ratio of how you feel and how the audience perceives it. So if you feel like your hands are shaking a lot, it only appears to your audience maybe that they're shaking a little bit. And if you think they're shaking a little bit, the audience doesn't even notice. There's that factor of 10 difference. And if you're worried about what the audience thinks, realize that your physical issues or whatever are not really apparent to them. So you can kind of block that out of your mind. And like you say, then focus on your message. But you kind of have false fears. You're just basically up there afraid, but the audience isn't really seeing the things that you're worried about them seeing. So that, to me, piece of information. Go ahead.
In fact, the audience is usually there to root for you. They want you to succeed. In fact, several speakers I spoke with mentioned that. Is that the audience, they want to get the message that you have to offer. They want you to succeed in giving it to them. There might be a heckler in the audience. There might be someone out there who's like taking notes of all the ums and ahs and the handshakes and the lip smacks and the blushing. But if you think about, I believe it was Zig Ziglar who said that the people who matter don't mind and the people who mind don't matter. That applies to your audience as well. If that person's nitpicking, they aren't your tribe. They don't matter.
Great advice. Do you have any stories on stage fright from your studies of these speakers?
I do. There was one speaker, and he was actually quite amazing because he speaks like 5 languages, and he speaks in like 3 of them. And English is one of them, but English is not his first language. I think his first language is like Hungarian or Romanian or something like that. He's from Eastern Europe. And he said when he first tried to speak when he was young, he fainted in front of the entire class. I mean, just got up, said a couple of words, and then bam, he was on the floor and had to be rushed to the nurse.
Wow.
So you'd think after having that kind of experience, why would he do it again? But now he's a successful speaker, and literally, he gives speeches in more than one language, and one of them's not even his native tongue.
That's pretty powerful.
I got a hard time doing it
in English, and he does it in multiple in his second language. I couldn't even imagine.
Wow. I know. I was very impressed with him. I was like, oh my God. And I don't remember the other speaker, but the story stuck out was, it was a woman, I believe, and she literally got sick, had to leave the stage, go to the bathroom, and throw up. She got so caught up in her stage fright. Again, another story that you think would stop someone from ever doing it again, and yet there she is. She's out there speaking. That's why I got her on. She was one of the speakers I spoke with. So it doesn't matter how bad your stage fright is. If you want to overcome it, you can.
Yeah, it's basically, are you going to give in to your fears and let your life be ruled by fear, or if you're going to say, look, okay, I'm afraid, but I'm going to do it anyway. And I think once we develop that mindset of not giving in to the fear and doing it, that we will then overcome it and we feel better about ourselves. I know I do. The fact that I no longer let this fear of speaking keep me in a box, I feel so much better about myself, and I'm living a much happier life.
Yeah. It's amazing, because public speaking is more than just in front of the stage. I mean, it helps you with every aspect of your life.
Yeah, and even talking to strangers, having overcome the fear of speaking to groups, then when you meet a stranger, it's essentially like you're speaking to an audience where you don't know every member of the audience. So I'm much more sociable and more comfortable in social interactions. And like at the networking,
I'm still working on that. I'm actually still working on that one. I can get on a stage and be totally fine, but get me one-on-one and I shut the hell up. I'm scared of people. Unless you're a crowd, then I'm okay.
See, my conquering of stage fright kind of went in reverse. I didn't really get comfortable speaking to a group until I could break the group down into individuals. So I was shy. I learned how to talk to one person at a time. Then I got comfortable talking to two or three at a time. And then when I talked to a group, it was about making eye contact with an individual and talking to one person and then another person and a different person at a different part of the audience. So it looks like I'm talking to a room full of people, but I'm really talking to one person at a time. That's kind of my little crutch. But then I get feedback that, you're making such good eye contact. And it's like, well, that's the only way I can give a speech is if I make really hard eye contact with an individual. I actually had at one Toastmasters meeting, I had people, it was kind of a long room, and people on the left and people on the right, and both people said, one person said, you know what, I thought you were only looking at me, you need to look at the other side of the room more. And then another person on the audience on the other side goes, I was going to say the same thing, I felt like you were looking at me the whole time. So that's kind of my crutch, is that really hard eye contact with a different person, and it's somebody that's smiling at you, right? It's not somebody who's not looking at you or not being supportive. But when you find those people in the audience, to me, that's where the comfort comes in, because it's just like me and them talking then. I just happen to be a little distance away. And when I look in the back of the room and the eye contact gets a little weaker as I start to get a little nervous, then I just bring my focus back to somebody in the first couple rows. And that's served me really well.
And, another tip on that, because, actually looking into people's eyes is terrifying for some people. Mm-hmm. And I've had a couple of speakers give me tips that you look at their nose, because when you look at someone's nose, they think that you're looking at their eyes, or look at the spot right in the middle of their forehead. And if it's an audience set around tables, if you look at the centerpiece, everyone at that table will think you're looking at them. It's amazing, because all of us, we're very self-centered individuals. It's just, we think everybody's looking at us. So whenever you look in the general direction of a person in an audience, they will think you're looking at them.
Well, yeah, that's true too, is when you think you're looking at one person, you actually pick up a lot of the people around them. That's a great tip.
Exactly.
Cool. So let's move on maybe to other tips, either about stage fright or other aspects of speaking.
Okay. Well, there was one little story of how I think I was telling this to you before we even got onto the radio show, was how there's this dichotomy to me. It's like part of me was absolutely afraid of being on stage, and the other part of me was just wanted to be on stage. So I used to put on little shows for the neighborhood, but I'd wear a mask so that people couldn't see my face. And then I was just okay. Then I was fine. And then as I got older, I wore glasses. And what I often would do is take the glasses off because I need the glasses to see far away. So when I took the glasses off, the audience was a nice, dull blur. And that helped. It especially helped when I was a belly dancer and performing in sparkly costumes and a lot of skin. And, that's very vulnerable. Plus, glasses don't go with a belly dance costume very well. But it was very helpful to not be able to see the audience clearly. So if you wear glasses to see far away, there's a tip to kind of help you ease into standing on stage. Take off your glasses. You won't see the audience.
See, that's very interesting, where that tip works for you, but I think, and it would work for theater, again, not connected to the audience. So I guess an important aspect of this is learn and study and get as many different tips, and some will apply to you and others won't, the more exposure you get to different tips, the better off you'll be, because you will find some that definitely click with you.
And the tip with the glasses too, that's more like a training wheel. I mean, today I would not wear my glasses because I want to see the audience. But before I was too afraid to see them. So taking off the glasses just kind of gave me that, it was like taking, putting on a little training wheel. It got me in front of the audience. I could see them well enough, but not so much that I could see them boring into my soul, looking at all my faults,
Okay, good. And we're coming right up on a break, so we'll pick this up on the other side of the break. This is Walt Grassel here with Karma Spence on Stand Up and Speak Up.
Conquering your fears and living your dream. That's what this show is all about. It's Stand Up and Speak Up with Walt Grassel. And we'll be back with more after these on the Rockstar Radio Network.
What does success mean to you? Money? Power? Fame? Having everything money can buy? Does it mean having a job or career that you love? A great family life, or simply to be happy? If you're still searching for answers, then join us each Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern for Primetime Success Radio, where Alan Skidmore and his special guests will discuss health, finances, relationships, being in business, and how you can have a life that is not only successful, but a life of meaning. Alan has been studying success principles for over 25 years through reading, attending seminars, interviewing successful people, and a daily lesson from the School of Hard Knocks. And now he wants to share that information with you. So join Alan Skidmore on Primetime Success Radio every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Rockstar Radio Network, as he takes you on a journey of finding the heart of your success.
Are you happy with your life? Satisfied with the direction you're taking? More importantly, are you content with the results you're seeing? Then Success Profiles Radio is the program for you. Join host Brian K. Wright as he talks to experts in many areas relating to life success, including expertise in leadership, business, relationships, careers, networking, health, overcoming adversity, and much more. Each week, we'll explore different aspects of success and how to apply them to your life. For more on Brian and the show, check out his website, briankwright.com. Each week is a dose of inspiration. So many people live their lives wanting more than they currently have. Success Profiles Radio is a show that will clearly demonstrate the principle, if I can do it, you can do it. So don't miss this opportunity to take control of your life and your results. Success Profiles Radio, with Brian K. Wright, Mondays at 5 p.m. Central on the Rockstar Radio Network. Welcome back to Stand Up and Speak Up with Walt Grassel here on the Rockstar Radio Network. The whole purpose of this show is to inspire you to face your fears, because when you do, you open up a whole new world of incredible opportunities. And Walt Grassel should know. He took the first steps by joining Toastmasters in 2006. While still struggling, he slayed an even bigger fear and tried stand-up comedy. Now get ready to learn how you can face your fears and change your life. It's Stand Up and Speak Up here on the Rockstar Radio Network. And here again is your host, Walt Grassel.
Welcome back to Stand Up and Speak Up. I am Walt Grassel, and I'm here today with Karma Spence. And before we resume our discussion, let me tell you where you can find Karma. She has two websites I'm going to point you to. One is karmaspence.com. That's CarmaSpence.com. And publicspeakingsuperpowers.com. I'll let you figure out the spelling on those. Welcome back, Karma. And before the break, we were sharing stories of speaking and focusing mainly on stage fright. In this segment, please share with us some more tips on how to be a better and more effective speaker.
Sure. I want to talk a little bit more about authenticity, because that one often trips people up, because one person's authenticity is another person's not so much. And ultimately what I've discovered just for myself and for others, from others, is that being authentic is being sort of a best version of you on the stage. So maybe if you tend to be very casual, take your dress up a notch when you're up on stage. If you tend to, I don't know, be very colloquial, maybe clean up your, tighten your language just a little bit, because you want to be your best authentic self up there. You still want your passion to come through. You want your concern. You want your message to be true to who you are, but you don't necessarily need to show all the rough edges as well. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that. It's like, if you normally dress in very casually, you don't want to show up in a tuxedo, but especially if it doesn't match the event. But you also don't want to be sort of disrespectful of the audience in yourself, because we even when we're ourselves, we don't act the same way. So what you're basically saying is be the best, put on your best face, like, but don't, sort of out of respect. Like, it's like if you straighten up your house before you have company, you may live in a little bit of disorganization, but out of respect for your company, you want to straighten up a little bit. You don't necessarily want to have an immaculate house if that's not you, but you do want to go through the effort of doing some straightening. Is that a similar analogy?
Yes. In fact, I have a story of two different speakers that kind of illustrate the
okay.
point. These are speakers
Great.
I've actually seen speak. There was one, his content was very good, but he got up on stage wearing black jean shorts and an old ratty T-shirt with that had one of those iron-ons that had been in the wash too many times. It was starting to flake. And half the time, I was just watching his clothes and thinking, why is he dressed like that? I mean, this was a nice stage. All the other speakers were in suits. And he even got up there and apologized. He said, this is just who I am. Now, at another event, there was another speaker who also dressed casually, but he did it with style. He was sort of known as always wearing a Hawaiian shirt. So he went up there in nice, clean, tacky shorts and a bright white and red Hawaiian shirt. And yes, it was casual, but it was well taken care of casual. It was clean. It was well pressed. It looked like he actually cared about how he looked. And when you compare the two speakers, that's that's the message that came through, because I talked to other people in the two audiences, is that the guy who got up there dressed like he just grabbed something out of his dirty clothes, it was hard to pay attention to the content he was delivering because you just felt like he didn't care. And he was also overweight. So it just added to the, like, he doesn't care about his clothes. He doesn't care about the way he looks. He doesn't, then how can I trust his content? Whereas and being overweight didn't matter, but it was that added on to the bad clothing. Mm-hmm. It just made everything look bad. Whereas the other guy, also casual, but nice casual. He looked like he cared. And if he cared about the way he dressed, then he probably cares about his content.
Yeah, and he cares about the audience.
You're not supposed to judge your book by the cover, but people do.
Yeah, and it becomes a distraction, right? It sends a message that I don't care, and it's a distraction because instead of listening to the message, you're thinking, how can this person get up on stage dressed like that? And while those thoughts are running through your mind, you're not hearing what they're trying to do, the message he's trying to deliver.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's a great point. And yeah, and authenticity is, again, it's not so much in an appearance sake, although it is, your appearance should be somewhat aligned with your message, but the authenticity really comes from a lot of the message that you're delivering, right?
Exactly. I mean, there's more than one level to being authentic. There's, you know, there's being true to who you are, but also true to the message. Two people mm-hmm. can talk about the same topic, but because they are two different people with different life experiences, different backgrounds, different skills, they're going to talk about that message in a very different way. Mm-hmm. And that's what authenticity is. It's like when I get up on stage, I'm not trying to be Tony Robbins. I'm not trying to be R.V. Robinson. I'm not trying to be one of the people I admire as a speaker. I'm trying to be me, the best me that I can be.
Great. Yeah, that's a great point. And then I think some people, and it may be even okay when you start to take on somebody's style, but once you mature, you want to develop your own style. You want to take the best of others, but also find out what it is that you do best and what you deliver. That's a great message. Okay, do you have another
tip for us? They give the same advice to writers. Because, you know, I was mm-hmm. a writer for many years. It's like when you're first learning how to write fiction, you know, they actually recommend, or even as a copywriter, they recommend that you copy other people's words. Like copywriters, mm-hmm. they say, you know, they find a really good copy letter, sales letter, and then they just copy it by hand 10 times. And by mm-hmm. copying someone who's successful, you're able to start, like, almost through this sort of virtual osmosis, pick up the rhythm and meter and style of that person, but then you need to infuse you into it so you're not just a cookie cutter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I read that concept in a book called Steal Like an Artist. I don't know if you've read that book. It's a very simple read, but it breaks down and talks about how artists, and whether that's writers or, and it applies to speaking, it's you start out by copying someone to kind of learn through imitation, but then develop yourself. They talked about how, like Letterman copied Johnny Carson, but then developed his own style. And it's right. a similar thing. And one of my tips talks about cross training, where these principles that you can apply to writing, you can apply to speaking, you can apply it in various areas.
Right.
Okay.
Go ahead. It brings to mind Craig Duswalt, who both of us know and who sort of created this Rockstar Network, is when he first, you know, broke out on his own, he decided to be the shoestring budget guy, and he was dressed all in this way that wasn't authentic to him. Mm-hmm. And it was only when he found his own voice through his, you know, musical background. I mean, and he gets up on stage. He's kind of crazy. He's got a bit of ADD and goes off on tangents. But he still, because he's authentically who he is, we forgive those little things that are not, you know, perfect speaking, because we're enjoying the ride.
Yeah. And
does that make sense?
And I have Yeah, and I have conversations with a friend of mine who's been a guest on the show, N.O. Inwick. And we both talk about, like, Toastmasters is really good for teaching you the mechanics of speaking, but some people will sit there and watch Craig, and because he says or goes off on tangents or maybe doesn't have the perfect posture when he's talking, that, you know, for a brief part, they'll get all caught up on the details, and it's like when you're learning, kind of like we talked about copying somebody else. As you're developing your style, you need to know what is the right thing to do, the right way to speak, the right body language, what perfection is. But if everybody talked in that perfect manner and were sterile, they would be poor communicators. But as you're getting over your discomfort with speaking, you learn what a good speaker is, and then what the mechanics are, but then you should kind of grow and develop your own style. And do you agree with that kind of an assessment?
I totally agree with you. And it's kind of interesting that you brought Toastmasters and how it can actually stifle some people, because several of the speakers that I spoke with were kind of anti-Toastmasters, because there are a lot of people who go through the Toastmasters program, which a lot of the speakers thought was a great way. Toastmasters is an awesome place to wet your feet, overcome stage fright, and get comfortable. But at some point, it's really good training wheels, but at some point you need to remove those training wheels. And apparently there are some speakers out on the circuit who are so locked into their Toastmasters training that they aren't being themselves on the stage, and other speakers notice it. And I wouldn't be surprised if audiences notice it as well.
Yeah, I'm sure the audiences do, because it comes across as somewhat inauthentic if you end up being a little bit too rigid, too mechanical, too uncomfortable in front of the audience, because you're trying to be
perfect.
What I call Toastmasters perfect. And again, I'm a firm believer that Toastmasters is the best training that a beginning speaker can do, and once you develop, it's a great place to practice. But you can't get locked into that box and become sort of like a Toastmasters robot. That's not in a put-down way. And we're coming right up on a break, and we'll pick up this on the other side of the break here on Stand Up and Speak Up with Karma Spence. Be right back.
Conquering your fears and living your dream. That's what this show is all about. It's Stand Up and Speak Up with Walt Gressel. And we'll be back with more after these on the Rockstar Radio Network. Get ready to learn and play with Mrs. A, your host, Barbara Allison. Mondays at 11 a.m. Central on the Rockstar Radio Network. Did you know that kids are only 20% of the population, but they are 100% of the future? How are you preparing your child for that future? The years between the ages of 0 and 6 are crucial for learning and development. Barbara Allison is a teacher, parent, and author on supporting children's early learning. Learning starts even before a child is born, and parents are children's first teacher. Join Mrs. A for ideas, tips, and suggestions for fun learning and play activities as she helps you support your child. Starting early is starting smart. For more on Mrs. A, her books, the show, and her blog, check out her website, 123kindergarten.com. Then, come learn and play with Mrs. A, with your host, Barbara Allison, Mondays at 11 a.m. Central on the Rockstar Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Gail Rubin, host and author of Good Goodbye, Funeral Planning for Those Who Don't Plan to Die. As the doyen of death, I'm all about getting the funeral planning conversation started. A doyen is a woman who's considered senior in a group and knows a lot about a particular subject. And that would be me when it comes to the party no one wants to plan, a funeral or memorial service. By thinking about what you would want in your funeral and having that conversation before there's a death or illness, you can reduce stress at a time of grief, minimize family conflict, save money, and create a meaningful, memorable good goodbye. That's what this program is all about. Just as talking about sex won't make you pregnant, talking about funerals won't make you dead, and your family will benefit from the conversation. So join the conversation and have a discussion with me on Rockstar Radio Network every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Central on the Rockstar Radio Network.
Welcome back to Stand Up and Speak Up with Walt Grassel here on the Rockstar Radio Network. The whole purpose of this show is to inspire you to face your fears, because when you do, you open up a whole new world of incredible opportunities. And Walt Grassel should know, he took the first steps by joining Toastmasters in 2006. While still struggling, he slayed an even bigger fear and tried stand-up comedy. Now get ready to learn how you can face your fears and change your life. It's Stand Up and Speak Up here on the Rockstar Radio Network. And here again is your host, Walt Grassel.
Welcome back to Stand Up and Speak Up. I am Walt Grassel, and I'm here today with Karma Spence. And before the break, we were talking about authenticity, and we talked a little bit about how Toastmasters, if you don't apply your personality to what you learn there, can potentially turn you into somewhat of a robotic speaker. And I want to be clear that I'm a strong advocate for Toastmasters. I just want you to bring your mind and your personality to your what you learn in Toastmasters when you go out and speak in public. Don't let it keep you from being you. Do you want to follow up on that, Karma?
I totally agree, because, I mean, obviously I'm still going to Toastmasters and I keep coming back. I love Toastmasters. It's a great place to test out your material, to push yourself into new directions, especially because they have all these different manuals. That there have been speeches in my manuals I'm like, I don't want to give that speech. I really don't. But I do it anyway, and it helps you grow. But then again, don't get caught up in whatever training program you do. Don't get caught up in specific techniques, like you face this way and then you face that way and you have to move your arm this way or that way. Be who you are, and that's what will get your audience to pay attention to you.
Great. So, yeah, we're in 100% alignment on that. In your public speaking superpowers book, did you get any unexpected or strange answers to your questions about the public speaking superpowers?
I certainly did. I would ask people, if you were a public speaking superhero, what would your superpower be? And I was expecting answers like, you know, passion, authenticity, basically skills and strengths that a speaker has on the stage. But every once in a while, someone would answer like I was actually asking about comic book superheroes. So I got people saying, I am Wonder Woman. And most recently, I had, because I still ask these questions in video interviews, I had someone say, I would be invisible. And I thought to myself, how does that help you as a public speaker? So I asked her, how does that help you as a public speaker? And what she said is, if I was invisible, I could go on stage with Tony Robbins and learn from him. And so basically what she was trying to say is that she watched other speakers, and being invisible would just let her get to them more closely. So sometimes it's like people just, even if I preface it, you know, what I'm asking really is skills and strengths. People still go off and, I'm Wonder Woman. Okay, so how does being Wonder Woman help you with public speaking? And eventually I'm able to turn it around, but sometimes I just, like, I look at people and I think, what are you thinking?
Yeah,
some, for some fun stories.
Definitely. But that also brings up an interesting perspective. When you mentioned that, I kind of tried to visualize, okay, imagine I'm kind of standing there right, you know, one step behind and one step to the left of Tony Robbins while he's giving a speech, and the way he works the audience and, you know, connects with them, that would be an incredible learning experience, I would think. So
and he certainly wouldn't let you do it if people could see you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that definitely wouldn't work. So even though that's kind of crazy, there is something to be said, even as just a visualization technique, just to kind of put yourself in that spot. Did you get any other crazy answers?
The one that struck me the most was invisible, but I did get people say, you know, I would be Superman, I could fly, and I'm like, fly? And then you have to, it was just, some of them were just so kind of strange that it would give me pause. And here I am interviewing them audio. I'm recording the interview, and I'm trying to make this something that I can use for my book. And it's like, what are you thinking? And occasionally, if someone was like way off mark, I would just pause and say, okay, this is what I actually meant by that question. Can we re-answer it? And I'm like, oh, okay, all right, sure. It's an interesting exercise to see how well people actually listen
mm-hmm.
to the questions you're actually asking and how they answer and how they see the world. It's been an eye-opening experience, but I have to admit, after 82 people, I was mm-hmm. done. There was no way I was going to push for 100.
I can get that. When I do these radio show interviews, I learn so much, and I can see, I'm like 30 in, but it's interesting to see when I get to my 100th show, if I make it, what that will be like. But it's fun. I think that's a good way to learn, is to interview people either for a book or just to talk to people who are good at what they do and pick their mind and find out what makes them successful. I did that with a stage fright, and I got all kinds of tips that worked for these other people that didn't work for me. The more you talk to people, the more you learn.
Exactly.
Do you have a few more tips in the time I have remaining that you'd like to share? Maybe I think we have time for at least one more.
Sure. Let's talk about, actually, it was really interesting. Most of the people talked about things about like connecting with the audience, authenticity, being able to read the audience, that kind of thing. And then one speaker said her superpower was marketing. And that interview was probably the meatiest one I had, because she gave very good advice about how to market yourself as a speaker. She talked about having a one sheet and what needs to go on a one sheet. She talked about what kind of content you need to have on a website for a speaker so that event planners will go there, find what they need, and hire you. And I don't remember all the details because I haven't transcribed that one yet, but I just remember leaving, and it was only a half an hour interview, and I remember leaving the interview going, oh my God, this is gold, absolute mm-hmm. gold. And she was the only one who talked about marketing. So although if you want to make speaking an important part of your career or your business, either as a professional speaker that gets paid as a speaker or using speaking to promote your business, it's really important for you to get that marketing bit down, because if nobody knows you exist, no one's going to hire you, and you are not going to get your message out into the world.
That's a very important piece. It's a little advanced if you're just getting over stage fright, but if you are thinking once you've overcome it of getting out there, that's a very important tool. I did have one particular area. Did any of them talk about their storytelling ability as their superpower? Just out of curiosity.
There were a couple, because stories are so important. I mean, we are hardwired to understand and comprehend things in story form. It just comes from when we were like a bunch of people living in caves, how we communicated and taught the next generation how to live was through stories. And then all of us in modern day, we grow up, or at least if we're really lucky, we grow up with a parent who reads us a story every night before we go to bed. My dad used to read me Winnie the Pooh and Oz books. And my mother read to me Jonathan Livingston Seagull and The Phantom Tollbooth, which is I highly recommend reading, even though it's a children's book. It's a great story.
What was it called again? The
Phantom Tollbooth.
Okay.
The Phantom Tollbooth. It's sort of about this. It's a little kid. He goes into this magical world where, like, when you jump to conclusions, you literally jump over to an island called Conclusions. And it's all about how words, you know, it's just, if you love language, which as a speaker or someone who wants to improve your speaking, you probably should love language. That is a great book because it just plays with language. And there's a little bit of math, too. There's a dodecahedron that is the gatekeeper to the math land. And a dodecahedron is one of the five perfect solids that the Greeks had. So I just happened to know that because my dad was a teacher and he taught me about it. So when it went, a dodecahedron, look, it's in the book. I know what it is. Yay.
Cool.
Back to storytelling.
Okay, we just have a little over 2.5 minutes, or around 2.5 minutes left. So why don't we let people know how they can get a hold of you and what you have coming up, your book, or if you have any events or anything, please share that. And if we have time, we'll come back to that. But I got a book read out of this, The Phantom Toll Booth.
Okay. Yes, a phantom toll booth. So anyway, if you're interested in working with me as a coach, or if you want to improve your online marketing or your speaking, or you just are feeling stuck and you don't know why you're stuck, that's what I help people with. And for that information, you go to karmaspence.com. Now, if you want to get more information about public speaking, you know, how to organize your speech, vocal variety, all sorts of information that helps you become a better speaker, including conquering your fear, go to publicspeakingsuperpowers.com. And as I've mentioned, I'm working on this book. And this book is, I don't think small. This is a big project. And I've realized that I can't do it on my own. So as of this morning, I've started a crowdfunding campaign to raise money to help me hire the transcribers and the editor and the proofreader, and even to hire an illustrator so I can have pictures of all the different superheroes with their superpowers. I started it, and you could go to PSSP, as in Public Speaking Superpowers, .volumeb.com. That's volume, like turn up the volume, B like the little insect, .com. And there's a little video that explains more about the project, and I'm giving away some great perks. And if any of your audience can contribute, that would be awesome. If you're not interested, but you know people who might want to contribute to the project, please pass the word. I have perks that are geared at people who want to be speakers, and I've got perks that are geared towards businesses that want to get in front of an audience of speakers. So it's a pretty cool campaign. I'm very passionate about getting this project done. I've been working on it for like 3 years, and I want to get it done, and I need help. So, again, okay. The websites are karmaspence.com, publicspeakingsuperpowers.com, and pssp.volumeb.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much for giving us all this great information, Karma, and that concludes today's show. This is Walt Grassel saying, conquer your fears and live your dreams. See you next time on Stand Up and Speak Up. Thank Karina for producing.
Thank you for being a part of Stand Up and Speak Up with your host, Walt Grassel, here on the Rockstar Radio Network. Each week on Stand Up and Speak Up,